Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Hi, this is Adam Barrett. Welcome to another edition of Speaking of Reliability. Here today having a discussion with Fred. How's it going, Fred?
Hey, pretty good. Now, you called me out of the blue for this one, so you better have a good topic. Made me fire up Skype and everything.
You said you hadn't even finished your base routines for the day before you were getting the other stuff, and here I am trying to get another episode in.
That's it. That's fine. I always enjoy talking to you, Adam. So what's up?
I was reflecting the other day on kind of some of the challenges with reliability metrics. And this comes from some current projects I'm doing with customers. And there's that whole part of the program where you're setting goals and then later on comparing what you've measured to the goals. Mm-hmm. And even goals that are stated in metrics like percentage reliability, right? You know, we have a goal of 99.99% reliability. And then, of course, there's the more difficult ones like your nemesis MTBF, and there's failure rates and confidence in the goals. But what's kind of interesting is I even realized for myself, when we talk about our reliability goal with our project, 99.99% reliability, when it really comes down to it, I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't hear that number and go, oh, wow, or go, oh, no. Well, and so I thought about why yeah, I don't have that feeling.
But Adam, if I see, Diane comes home from the store sometimes and goes, well, I got this cut of meat versus this one because it's at $4.99 a pound. And I'm like, okay, without context, 99.99% reliable over a year, without context is pretty meaningless.
That's exactly it. Context, that's the word. So that's what I was kind of wondering about, is creating a metric that has context built in. Hmm. So how would you do that in being able to talk to a broad group, right? Because
put a big red sale sign on the front of
new and improved.
New and improved. Yeah, yeah. That always works.
It gets out ring around the collar. Something that actually sometimes it gets used in other parts of the business or in a lot of times in the financial community is indexing. And the idea being that you are communicating only in relation to the effectively context of the goal. So the idea would be 99.99% reliability. Where did that come from as a goal? Well, if we trace it back far enough, hopefully it came from market analysis. Mm-hmm. And a desire to grab a certain percentage of sales of the market or a specific market share or, you know, a niche market. And that's where it came from. And that's where the meaning lies in those numbers. So what if we brought that to the front of any time it's communicated, you know, in an index, so people became used to hearing about reliability goals in this index? And what I mean by index is if the business, you have your business target, and then you have a scale of plus 10. And by the way, I'm hashing this out. You know, this is something I've been live hashing out in my mind for a day or two, so it's not formulated. But what if you had a scale of plus 10 to minus 10, or the range of scale is also communicated to be meaningful? So in other words, people say, what is our reliability goal? And you say, well, our reliability goal is to capture niche market, da, da, da. Something that's an understood internal language regarding the business goal. Mm-hmm. And then the metric that we measure is our progression of either confidence that we have that or measured value plus or minus that. So in other words, we would say, you know, at release, we would want to be at the index minus 2 with the hope of maturing in the first 6 months to hitting our index. And then as you're progressively measuring, you could say, you know, we're actually at index minus 4 right now is what we're actually, you know, measuring. But we're seeing growth still, which would mean we could be at 60% confidence, you know, of our index goal. So it kind of acknowledges the lack of, you know, as you were saying, context, and then making it generic so that it can be, You know, because then if people are like, okay, well, wait, what is the index base? Then they can go look it up if they want. Mm-hmm. But at least everybody can communicate to each other in that more general sense, which is kind of the idea, I think, with indexing when people, you know, do that and have a goal they're trying to achieve. So my interest was kind of just hearing your thoughts on that and, mm-hmm. and having a discussion on it today. And that's why you're not getting other work done.
Yeah. Well, the thought, I mean, what as you're describing that, I'm thinking of a sighting. Like a scope on a rifle, basically, to use a rough analogy, is you have a target, right? The bullseye out in front of you, and you want to put that in your sight. And as you get closer to it, you're drifting from left to right or whatever direction you're going. And if I think the indexing works if we know what the target is. I think is what I'm trying to say. So if we know that we want to get to 99% reliable over 2 years, which is connected to the business objective of entering this niche or customer satisfaction or whatever, then saying, you know, early in the program, we're at -5 towards hitting this target. We're on this retinal scale and we're below target. What it doesn't convey to me though, Adam, is the degree of it's, I'm wondering if a log scale, maybe that's just my mathematician talking, is, you know, if I'm a long way away from the target, if I'm at 5 versus 2.5 negative numbers away from below the target, it might mean a lot more work to go from 2.5 to on target than it did from 5 to 2.5. Is kind of what I'm thinking. And then, yeah. You know, and if we're above target, that's great. How's this different though than a red, yellow, green that we're.
So I agree with you that's the next challenge, is having the range be meaningful. Exactly. Like, does 10 mean it's hopeless or does 10 mean we're close, you know? Mm-hmm. And that part works in my mind. I'll think about it driving home, driving in. Right. So that's the next thing to do to create context, right, is scale. As you're saying, you know, maybe going from 2 to 0 is, you know, way more work than going from 5 to 2. So that part would have to, I think almost for a company, you could standardize that for a specific type of market and product and development process. So that might be very different industry to industry, product to product, you know, type of product. But I think right now I'm hopeful you might be able to standardize that part so that's always the same. But
there's a lot of dashboards out there that do, you know, are we on target or not? That's not uncommon.
But that's different. That's on target means that your trajectory is good, right? That your speed and distance match getting to that point on the time you want.
Well, you see things like fuel gauges type dashboards where – you know, we're right now, like I'm thinking of the big fundraiser thermometer type gauges, mm-hmm. right? You know, our target is $1 million and we're at $100,000 right now. So it's only partially 10% full. And so if we're doing a reliability program, it can, I would think that would be able to reflect that the target is 95% reliable. And there's whatever the measure is. And our best estimate right now, combining the confidence and what we know and don't know and stuff, uncertainty, is we're at this number, right? We're at 60% confidence, or it's just a guess or some rubric of generalizing that so that as we get closer to launch, we can see the trajectory of us getting to the spot on time. That's another way. That's what I'm thinking is a dashboard kind of thing that gives a glance communication vehicle to say we're on target or not. One of them I saw some years ago was at a client, and they were measuring all kinds of different aspects of their service. There was a service transportation agency, and they were providing, say, light rail service to a community. And they had a dashboard that had metrics for the facilities, like the escalators, elevators, and lighting, cleanliness, the customer satisfaction, on time, the trains arriving and departing on time, things like that. And they measured all kinds of stuff, but they had 8 or 9 key ones for the different major aspects of the system. And they had happy faces on it. They had a little trend chart showing where their goal was and were they above or below their goal, like a percentage or a scale of some sort, whatever was relevant. And then they had a happy face if they were above goal and a sad face if they're below goal. It always caught my eye to look at it. And I asked them, how do you set your reliability goal? You know, for the it was a maintainability of this uptime, basically, of these systems. And they said it's arbitrary. It's where we want it to be next. And so it's much like we do it for a product, right? We say, well, here's what we think the customer wants and what will be good enough, and that's our goal. But the scales they were using and the reporting of those scales conveyed a lot of information without knowing exactly what the details were.
Yeah, but that's kind of the opposite. You know, and the dashboard thing, you know, with the temperature, you know, gauge or, you know, contour. Mm-hmm. I feel that that's kind of giving, yeah, that very crude thumbs up, thumbs down. That's not giving a real metric in the sense of something that does give you a sense of, well, I guess it depends what it is. If it's a red, yellow, green for that day, saying we're at where we wanted to be today to get where we want to be tomorrow, I guess mm-hmm. that's, you know, that's, but if it's...
Well, back up a little bit, Adam. What's a good metric? I mean, from a reliability point of view, you and I could name a dozen different, you know, key ways to measure and communicate reliability, MTBF included, as an example of a bad one, by the way. But what makes a good one?
So we have to, a good metric is within context to what it's trying to communicate. How well is it trying to, you know, so the specific context that I've framed this in, this specific idea of a metric, has to do with connecting it to the business goal, I guess, the ultimate product goal, mm-hmm. I guess is the what I was describing is missing.
So, I mean, could you use stuff like profitability?
You know, return on investment, things like that. But the thing is that all that has already been calculated. So why recalculate it? Mm-hmm. So what I'm envisioning is helping take that work, which has been done, and be able to keep it included in the metric, right? So somebody did figure out profitability, market share, return on investment for dollars invested in the program, all that. And all those were inputs to a reliability goal and to what features they'll be and when time to market and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, they're intricately linked. If we use just a very simple example of if the failure rate is higher in the field, our warranty costs go up and our profitability shrinks. And so if we report the dollar change on profitability due to the reliability element, which is one-to-one, you know, from a warrant, if you convert it a failure to warranty cost, it communicates the part that I see is missing from a lot of metrics and reliability is that it's not converted to dollars. It's usually failure rates or something equivalent. Whereas if I know that we're at right now versus our business objectives, reliability is costing us $250,000 if we ship today versus our goal of break even. You know, if that all of that profitability, all of those other calculations are usually assuming a certain failure rate. And if our product isn't hitting that failure rate, we have a negative impact in dollars. And if we're above that target, we have a positive impact in dollars.
So what would you add then if people asked about the reliability goal and you said it's 99.9%, what would you add to that to help communicate how that...
Well, if warranty is a part of the equation, right, and, or whatever it is that we're paying for unreliability is, well, one way I think of it is what's the cost per unit shipped of failures or of downtime. So let's use a generic laptop. And if our target set of assumptions around warranty and support and call centers and everything else is that we're going to spend $100 per every unit that we ship. Now, of course, not every unit's going to invoke a call to the call center or a return, but in general, that's what we're budgeting on, and that's based on the number of defects or field problems we have that would generate those warranty claims. But I put it in the units of per unit shipped, because then it's in the same units as the bill of materials, and it gives us a cost. And as the marketing guys and sales guys change their forecasts about how many units we can sell, they can sell. It doesn't affect the unit, the cost per unit of a, of the failure rate's impact on warranty cost, essentially. So it's, if it's 99.99% reliable, our nominal rate is $100 per unit shipped of cost of unreliability. And every dollar we save goes to profit. Every dollar we miss, it's with a higher failure rate, then it comes out of profit for an individual unit we sell. Because we often think of, I think it's natural to think of profit margin when you sell one unit. If I sell a laptop for $1,000, we make $300, and that's including spending $100 on warranty. And if we save money on warranty, it goes to the profit.
Yep. But then what about capturing niche and targets and brand and all that, which was included in that goal and not just pure dollars?
Well, you got a long weekend coming up. You should sort that out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. That's an MBA question. And that's probably why there's lots of different business measures and things that we track and measure. Going back to what makes a good metric is it's, I think you touched on it, that it's a communication vehicle, right? To help, but it's more than that. It's a communication vehicle to get people to make good decisions, to react to circumstances, or more proactively, by moving that metric in a positive direction, it benefits the business and customers. So it's the hard part is that when it gets, it's that transition to the engineering world, right? So a -5 on a metric, to me as an engineer, is like, what do I do with that? I don't know how to interpret that.
Well, wait, but just to go back to the objective of metric. So in this terminology for metric, kind of this, I would say the objective is to help people decide what to do next. Like, it's to drive direction. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really the purpose of it, right? We look to it to know, what should we do next? Should we be concerned about, you know, our, you know, releasing on this date? Should we, you know, consider doing more engine development? Should we be concerned, you know, mm-hmm. and which then influences program decisions. So,
right.
You know, if that's, I guess some of it was bringing some very conciseness to that, you know, and removing any need for further clarification, because, which is kind of how you came to say, well, what about just red, green, yellow? Things are okay. Things are not okay. We need action. Mm-hmm. So in some sense, the indexing idea is in between that and a more, you know, quantitative metric. Mm-hmm. But definitely requires more thought, but just something that I thought was of interest, because I find so many times that it requires some explanation with regard to the metric, or, you know, the measurement or the goal, as to what it means, you know, why is it what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, the business side of connecting the metric, that's, to me, has been an often missing piece in program plans and project plans and stuff, is that's, the more it's connected to the business and to what the customer's expectations are, the better story it conveys to the engineering team. This is why we do this. I think I told you one time before, as I was working with a medical device group, and we're going through some tools and some training and stuff like that. And I was giving them a hard time because they weren't seeing the connection to why that would help the reliability performance. And one of them sat back and says, now wait, and it was an oncology radiation therapy device. And they said, now, come on, give us a break here. We're curing cancer. You know, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, when you're, and you know, my thought was, yeah, when your machine's working.
But, right. That just makes the accountability higher, and we're not going to give you a break.
But my point is that, you know, the rocket scientists at NASA, they get it, that if this machine blows up, people die, you know, and it's bad press, you know, it's funding gets cut and things like that. Aircraft manufacturers, they get it. You know, they don't want to be on the national news because the wing fell off, kind of thing. A lot of us understand the importance of what we're doing. And speaking in general from the engineering ranks, right? We know that this is critical. This is important. This is worth doing it right. And adding a measure or a metric on it reinforces that. But I think you touched on a key point of what it needs to do. It needs to help us be able to prioritize, to sort, to get a glimpse of what to do next. And so when I go to the percentages, using the reliability percent successful and duration, I use that because I can apportion it. I can say, all right, the power supply needs to be X and the motherboard needs this good and the ASIC on it needs to be at this good, at this reliability measure and so on. And so a block diagram oftentimes conveys way more information about where to prioritize and so on. But it's still a struggle if dealing with percentages or failure rates or anything else. And so there's room for improvement there. So putting an index on there, this is versus target, which brings in that context piece that we started mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. That may be the missing piece to the making block diagrams much more useful in those team discussions.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, that was good. Good stuff. A lot more to think about. I'm going to keep formulating it. I'm going to actually post on it too.
Okay. Just
gonna hopefully get some comments from people too. And also it'd be great to get comments on this podcast. We'd love to see, you know, any comments and discussion go on about it. It's an interesting topic. I think a lot of people, see a need for something else to be added here. Maybe not improvement, but just added for when, you know, there's a different objective for the metric. So
definitely.
All right. Well, great, Fred. Thank you so much for taking the time.
All right, no problem, Adam. Well, I shouldn't say anytime because you'll take me up on that. So.
Yes.
I will. All right, no worries, Adam.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.